The book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 with me, please. Wonderful singing this morning. Love singing those beautiful Christmas songs and worshiping the Lord, remembering His coming for us and rejoicing in the salvation, the gift of salvation that He offers to all. We rejoice in the Lord. Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. Well, we all are experiencing many of the same things this season. Most of us are very busy with lots of activities taking place. School, many of you students here are finishing up school, wrapping up your studies, perhaps final exams, and getting ready for those things. And that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work and a lot of attention. And then, of course, with Christmas comes Christmas gatherings and fellowships and other things of that nature. And if you notice there in the book of Luke, there at chapter 10, you'll see where we see a flurry of activity taking place. And I want to take a look at this account this morning with Christmas in mind. I would like to take the truths that we will see here from the life of Mary and Martha and apply them to the Christmas season. This message was inspired by my friend Thomas the other day, and I heard him reference this passage, or a title for this passage, and it was this title: Are you going to have a Merry Christmas? Or are you going to have a Martha Christmas? And I thought, well, hey, that is a really nice title. But I said, even more so, I believe that is a message that I need. A message that even as a pastor, where I desperately need to remember that God does not want us to be so busy that we forget to worship. It happens quickly, doesn't it, friends? It happens very quickly, more quickly than we'd like to admit, honestly. But why don't we look together at this passage and just find some truths that can encourage our hearts for every day of living, but especially in light of our Christmas season. Notice what the Bible says in verse 38, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" With the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Ways to Have a Merry Christmas Instead of a Martha Christmas." Would you pray with me? Lord, I am thankful for your people here today just joining their hearts and their voices in one accordance, one accord, in one spirit, one mind to the Most High God. We bow our hearts to you, Lord, as the living God, the one who is sovereign, the one who is all-powerful, or the one who is all-knowing, the one who is always everywhere, the one and mighty true God. And Lord, we just bow our hearts to you now before this message. And Lord, help us, please, to not be so busy serving you that we forget to worship You. Would You guide our hearts, Holy Spirit, and Lord, bring revival to the folks in this room. Lord, every one of us, I'm praying for a fresh breath from heaven to be upon us this morning. Oh God, I ask it in Jesus' name, believing You will. In His name we pray. Amen. You know, this season is a blessed season. One of my favorites. Maybe it's one of yours. I enjoy every part of Christmas. I enjoy the getting together with families that I see maybe once a year. That's always an encouragement. Just to catch up with life. How are things going? How's your life? And just that's a blessing. It's a blessing to be with a fresh focus on the Lord. Just a renewed focus on His coming and realizing why we even have the ability to be called Christians is because Christ came to save sinners like us. I mean, there are so many things about Christmas that we think about. We think about the decorations and the lights and all the things that go along with that. The great Christmas cookies. Oh boy, I love Christmas cookies. My wife makes Christmas cookies every year, and I love Christmas cookies, especially her Christmas cookies. All right, they are the peanut butter blossoms, and I'm sorry about that wasp right there. You know, I believe that thing is demon possessed. It has messed with us for 2 weeks now. Somebody needs to kill it. And where's security? Security, we got a wasp loose. He's done that the past 2 weeks. I'm telling you what's the truth. Anybody brave enough to get him, just get him, all right? And we'll try to get him. And I'll try to preach while you're not paying attention to me at all. That's going to be a challenge in itself, but we'll do our best. Amen? All right. Well, anyway, back to the Christmas cookies, okay? We make them every year, and I like the peanut butter blossoms, and I appreciate the sugar cookies that are made, and the Christmas cookies with the icing and the red hots, and everything that goes along with it. I like every bit of it. And so everyone has traditions here that you enjoy. I grew up shooting fireworks around Christmas. That was always a highlight. We would go and get fireworks called the Jennings Christmas. The Jennings Christmas, that was the highlight. We'd have a big bonfire and we'd get out there and just shoot hundreds of dollars worth of fireworks in just about an hour's time. But we enjoyed it as a kid. I still enjoy it. You can ask my kids. In fact, I'm thankful they have taken a liking to fireworks because that means Daddy gets even more fireworks. And we enjoy that. It's a blessing. There's so many things. You have your traditions and whether it's, going out of town or being at home. We all can relate in different ways. It can be a lot of fun. But one of the things that I've noticed about Christmas is that many times we can just get so busy that we lose the true meaning of Christmas. A time where we are to truly reflect upon God coming to us. The miraculous virgin birth of Jesus Christ coming to this earth, living the life that He did, sinless life. I was telling the kids at Good News Club the other day, you need to imagine Jesus growing up. He was a perfect child. He didn't argue with his siblings. He never disobeyed mom and dad. He never backtalked. He never rolled his eyes. He never responded in a sinful way. And He grew up as a teenager the same way, and up in his 20s the same way. And he was a carpenter. He learned from his father, his foster father. He learned, and he never got mad at customers when they complained or ridiculed him. And he just was good to his neighbor. He never had a bad thought about anybody. He always wanted best for anybody around him. He was sinless. He would grow up and enter into the ministry where He would reveal Himself as the Son of God. And that's when the persecution really began. That's when He was really ridiculed. That's when He was blasphemed, and eventually He was mocked, and to a point to where He was eventually beaten beyond the point of recognition. couldn't even be recognized as a man. He was beaten so badly. We lose and we forget to reflect upon our God and how He would go on to the cross. And He would take those nails and He would take the crown of thorns, and that He would take the lashings and the mockings and the spit from those that despised Him. He took all that. And I don't want us to forget to reflect upon the fact that Jesus would die. He would die a cruel death, an agonizing death like no one has ever experienced and no one ever will experience. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. But thank God it doesn't end there. The little babe in a manger, the sinless Son of God, would grow up and be sinless and die on the cross. And they put Him in a cold tomb, sealed that tomb, and He would lay there lifeless. No life at all. Dead. And on that third day, hallelujah, He arose. He arose as a victor from the dark domain. Jesus Christ, the sinless one, He overcame death. He fought it and He conquered it. And He arose in a glorified body. And He would walk on this earth for 40 days following that resurrection, showing Himself in His glorified, risen body. And then on that 40th day, He would ascend up into glory. And the angels, as the disciples looked up at Him, said, "Why stand ye gazing? This same one shall come in like manner." And that reminds us that we know for a fact that He came the first time, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming again. Christmas is a reminder not only of His death and His resurrection, church, but Christmas is a reminder that our Savior is coming again. And just like the group of Jews that were there that would get the news that the Messiah was coming, He would be appearing. And even John the Baptist, the tummy of his mother Elizabeth, got news that the Bible says the baby leaped with joy because the Messiah had come. They by faith were expecting it. And I just wonder sometimes if we're not in that generation as we expect His coming, that maybe it could be today. What a glorious Christmas that would be. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want my Savior, who came the first time and is coming again, I would love for Him to be able to find me expecting His coming. How do I show that? I show that through a daily life of worship. A daily life of reflecting on Him and His glory and His grace and His greatness. Reflecting upon the fact that God saved a sinner like me. Wow. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we won't say this out loud, but sometimes we live our lives as if we deserved to be saved. As somehow or a manner, God saw us and said, "Now those, that's the ones that are worth being saved." No, my friends, we are not. But we are to live our lives in an expectation in such a way where there is daily worship. And what I'm afraid of, and many times in my life, and especially this season, where I can get so busy doing things for the Lord that I have forgotten that good part. The main thing. And that is my heart being renewed daily and being freshly renewed in my worship of the Most High God. That's what I want. That's what God wants for us. And I believe we have an example here in the Word of God that you don't normally hear this passage preached around Christmas. But I believe there is some great application for us as we look at that. Would you look there for a moment? As we see, they have just come in from a busy season of serving. The disciples, if you read the chapter 10, we see the disciples and the 70, we see God moving upon lives. We see even that the devils are subject to us through thy name, the disciples would say, and they were seeing the power of God. And then they come, we get to this instance here where he's going to give the example of the Good Samaritan, but then it transitions to a different scene found in verse 38. It finds them walking into a little certain village. The village is the village of Bethany. That is where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, their brother Lazarus, lived. We're not sure if Martha was a widow or not, and to this degree, in this context, but nevertheless, it does appear that she was the owner of the house. And get the context here. What's happening? Jesus has come to their house. Now, I believe he's been there before. I believe there was already a relationship. They were friends of his. They were dear to him. And we know that because of the testimony of Lazarus. You remember how Jesus, where the Bible says Jesus wept. And that was in the context of Lazarus being dead. But the fact of the matter is, he appears to this house, and we see some neat things here. First, we see the fact that Martha is a great hostess. She loves hospitality. I hope you're a lover of hospitality here. I hope you ladies are lovers of hospitality. I hope you men are lovers of hospitality. Basically, that is where you welcome people into your domain for the sake of serving them. Praise God for that. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? I think that's something we all ought to practice as Christians, the gift of hospitality. And Martha had that characteristic. And some scholars have tried to determine exactly what was going on at this time, but it looks likely that this was around a festival going on in Jerusalem, a feast, if you will. Now, some would possibly say that this was around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the last feast. It was the seventh one. And Bethany being only about 2.5 miles outside of Jerusalem, there would be a place for Jesus to rest a little while, perhaps while sending the other disciples on to Jerusalem for other reasons. We don't know at all exactly what was going on. Some even believe that this was the same time that we are in right now. One Bible commentator suggested that this was during the Hanukkah, the celebration of the Festival of Lights, if you will. That basically was a remembrance, a memorial of that Maccabean revolt back when Antiochus Epiphanes came and desecrated the temple there at 165 BC, and there was a revolt by the Maccabeans, and they won, they overcame, and there was a great deliverance there of a restoring back the cleanliness and the sacredness of the temple for that short period of time, and there's a continual celebration of that even now that is celebrated by many. Called Hanukkah. It could have been around that time, which would have been, again, around where we are right now, interestingly enough. But nevertheless, we see that Martha is very excited that Jesus is there. And she has made a decision that she is going to put forth her best effort in making sure that he feels loved and honored and adored. That he is indeed worthy of our best. And as I've studied this passage and looked at it, I've begun in my own heart, I'm realizing that we sometimes, I think, are way too hard on Martha. Now, Martha had some faults, and we're going to see that. But the fact of the matter is, Martha had a heart for her Lord, but she got distracted. Just like perhaps you are right now in your life, and perhaps we could be tomorrow or next week or even in this month, there are times that we just miss the mark. We miss the point. We miss the good thing that God has for each of us. And so we see here that Martha received him into her house. And notice verse 39. And she had a sister. This is her little sister. Some would believe that this Mary here is Mary Magdalene, who Jesus had delivered. We don't know that for a fact. It could have been. But which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, that's a blessed scene right there. This dear sister in Christ, she loves her Lord, and Jesus has come to the house and he's taken that seat in the house. Now some would believe that it wasn't actually in their house, but it was also, if it was around the Feast of Tabernacles, the tradition is that they would build booths, like temporary tents right outside the main home. And what they would do during these feasts is that they'd spend a lot of time out there in that tent. It was a place of communion. It was a place where people gathered. And during the feast, by the way, it was very well known that that was a time to pray. It's a time to study, a time to reflect, a time just to be with each other and not be caught up in too much distractions, just focusing on the feast. And by the way, if that was, they could have been out there in that tent. But where we have in this scene, is Mary is at the feet of Jesus listening and hanging on to every single word. I tell you, as a pastor, I just appreciate so much you folks. I come here and I'm telling you, I'm thankful for your love for God's Word. I can tell it even when I'm preaching. And I believe that Mary just was so interested in what Jesus had to say that she was standing at his feet. And Martha, on the other hand, had something else in mind. Now, she may have good intentions. And by the way, that happens a lot. We have good intentions, but that ends up leading us down a path away from God instead of to God. But look what Martha's going to do. She sees her sister. And now listen, verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about. That means basically distracted. It means overwhelmed. It means full of anxiety. And it says about much serving. And she came to Jesus. She came to him and basically is going to rebuke the Lord. Now, this is where we see her going wrong. She comes with the wrong attitude and basically says, Lord, do you not care? Basically, she's saying, Lord, do you not see what I am doing here? Do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone all by myself? And says, tell her, make her, bid her therefore that she help me. Now, I don't know. Can you just use your sanctified imagination with me here just for a moment? Put yourself at this scene. Martha is in charge of the meal. And she's working hard. I don't know if they were in the tent or in the house, but if she was in the house, whatever, she's pacing back and from one room. Maybe she went to town to get some ingredients. Maybe she goes here to do this. Maybe she's getting the fire started. She's moving back and forth. But every time she goes past Jesus, guess what she sees? She turns her head. You can see her face now. She turns her head. And I don't know how many times maybe she went by until finally she said, she bust in there in the verse that is right there in the text. It is not a quiet interruption. It is an explosive interruption. It is her going in and saying, Lord, if she had gotten to a breaking point. Do you not see what is going on here? I'm trying to make you a meal, a really good one, 5-course meal, the one of the best, and she meant well, but she had just gotten so distracted and lost the whole meaning of all, and she was tired of seeing her sister there at the feet of Jesus, and so she comes in with a rebuke. And notice what the Lord says with a kind rebuke. He said unto her, Martha, Martha. By the way, When the Lord uses your name twice, you better be listening. Martha, Martha. And I do believe that He said this with a kind rebuke. I don't believe He raised His voice. I believe He said it with a loving, tender heart because He saw her heart. He saw that Martha really was wanting to do her best. That she was trying to do everything perfectly. She was trying to please Him in such a way that He felt like the honored guest. But He said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, and troubled, anxious about many things. I circled that word in the text, things. What are the things in your life that are distracting you from personal worship of Jesus Christ? Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe it's too much of a good thing. Maybe it's the wrong use of a good thing. But there are a lot of things that come into our life, and a lot of times, don't miss this, a lot of times it's material things. Things we can see, touch, have, possess. It's, Jesus is saying, you got a lot of things. And what some have concluded is that He's speaking specifically in context of what she was preparing. Almost as if Jesus is saying, look, something simple would be just fine. Because I want to tell you something. Your sister has gotten a hold of what really matters. She's at my feet, listening to every word. And He said here, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Circle that one thing. That one thing is worship. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Can I remind you that this same Mary had a practice of choosing the good part? It was this same Mary that would be found there at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him with a precious ointment, a perfume, and an alabaster box that would be broken over Him. Some believe that the worth of this alabaster box, this perfume, was worth a year's salary to the common man of that time. Thousands of dollars. It was the same Mary that we find here at the feet of Jesus who would have such a vision of her Lord and a love for her Lord. She knew that His death was coming soon. And it was a preparation for Calvary. She did not lose the worship of her God in the midst of busyness. And the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with being busy for God. Listen, Jesus was not rebuking her for her service. Rather, He was rebuking her for the spirit that she had with that service. It was her attitude. It was her mentality. And folks, let me tell you something very, very true for every single one of us. That when we get to the point where we're getting flustered and frustrated and anxious in our service of God, I want to tell you, we have lost worship. We're no longer worshiping, we're only working. Can I tell you that good part? It reminds me that the best part of Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, is being at the feet of Jesus Christ. Our personal communion with Him. Making sure we are listening to His words. Not just reading, but listening to His words. Making time that we spend with Him in the quietness. I think of that song we sang together, Silent Night, Holy Night. Sometimes I'm afraid Christmas, we're not really singing that to be true in our own lives. It's almost like it's noisy night. and almost like it's carnal night. Christmas has so many things to be enjoyed and celebrated, but folks, it is never to substitute the personal worship of the one who came, and His name is Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that the Lord God has made a way for us to worship Him daily. You know, true worship, as one has said, is all that we are responding to all that God is. And I want to say this morning that you can serve too much, but you can never worship too much. Because service is an outflow of worship, ladies and gentlemen. It's worship first. Because when we're worshiping the Lord, the service will be more natural. It'll be not out of a spirit of frustration. I want to have a merry Christmas. My 3 years of living in Niger, West Africa, surrounded by Muslims, 99% Islam. We lived out there in that city of Agadez of about 100,000. And I want to say today that I'm not going to say that necessarily it was the easiest Christmases that I've had. But I feel like I can say this accurately and honestly, that it was probably three of the most meaningful Christmases that I've had. And this is why. Now, I'm not belittling any other Christmases. I have great Christmas. I'm thankful. But when there as a family, it just being there and not seeing any of Christmas commercialized. There were no decorations anywhere in town. There were no Black Friday sales. There were no rushing here and there. And a lot of that had been taken out. But I, at the same time, with my family, we decorated a little bit inside our private space in our home. But it was just so different. And what it reminded me of is, hey, looking around me, God, this is why we have Christmas. It's because You came for me and You came for all these people. This is why we celebrate Jesus, because You love these Muslims. You love them, Lord. You died for them. You came to this earth. And You want us to tell them the good news. Reminded me. It slowed us down so that we could get quiet before the Lord and really have meaningful worship. There, it was just different. It helped me understand some things. That many times we get a Martha syndrome. And we have a Martha Christmas. But my challenge with you this morning is have a merry Christmas. Yes, an M-E-R-R-Y Christmas, but also a M-A-R-Y from this passage type of Christmas, where you make sure you're spending some sweet time at the feet of Jesus, marveling at His reason for coming. Can I share this with you in closing? Just a few points to keep in mind. Number one, be on guard against being overly busy. That's a hard one, isn't it? That's a very hard one. But there is a such thing as being overly busy. Number two, always find a place at Jesus' feet. By the way, the best seat in the house is always at the feet of Jesus. I mean, I don't know about you men here, but I have my recliner at home. I love that chair. It's a nice chair. It's comfortable. And I enjoy sitting there. How many of you men have your chair at home? All right. How many of you ladies have your chair? Amen. All right. Ladies, they love your chair too. In fact, I love my chair so much, if one of my kids is sitting in my chair, I tell them to get up. That's selfish, isn't it? Now, if my wife's sitting there, she can sit there all day. Amen. I like that seat. But I tell you what, the best seat in any of our house is going to be at that seat where we sit at the feet of Jesus and marvel at Him and listen to Him and love Him and not get so caught up in this Martha world in the way our country has commercialized Christmas. And many times even things that people mean well. It robs us. Number three, understand that Jesus is more interested in your attention than your activity. He's more interested in your attention. He said, Martha, you need to listen up here. You are troubled about many of these things that really don't matter. But your sister, Mary, she's got the good part. She's listening to me. She's here with me. And this is where you need to be. I don't know, I'm just using my sanctified imagination here, but I just wonder if there were times in the cooking and preparing and rustling that was going on and preparing. I wonder if she sometimes was so loud that even Mary maybe had to pipe up and said, Martha, would you quiet down? I'm trying to listen to Jesus. Sometimes we got to do that, folks. Let's hit the pause button for a moment. Let's recalibrate. Are we where we need to be in our hearts, in our minds? And folks, don't get me wrong. This is not just for Christmas. I'm using Christmas as an application because I know it's really fresh for all of us. But this is every day. This is supposed to be for us every day of our lives. Jesus is more interested in your attention, your communion, than your running about activity. But then fourthly, get this. We will always accomplish more by what we are rather than what we will ever do. I want us to get our minds wrapped around that. We will always accomplish more by what we are rather than what we will ever do. Because if I have a heart of worship towards my Lord, my service is going to be in the Spirit. It's going to be for Him and His glory. But the moment I get overtaken by just doing and just being in a flurry of activity apart from the worship, that I therefore then have started laying up those things that really don't matter. The wood, hay, stubble. The Lord wants my heart, your heart. Oh, He deserves it, doesn't He? He certainly does. And I just want to leave you with this. If your focus is on doing rather than being, you certainly will be anxious and troubled. Let's not fret. Let's be full of joy. Let's be full of peace. Let's be full of hope. And let's not miss the key to having a Merry Christmas. I went hiking the other day, and a couple guys from church, and they were so merciful to let me tag along with them. Gracious. We got on the Appalachian Trail, and where we had started, it was only going to be about a 21-mile hike, but where we started, it was uphill for about 2 miles. Now, thankfully, it wasn't too uphill. I mean, it was just a slight incline for about 2 miles straight. Well, we got to about the end of that 2 miles, and it hit me. Now, I'll remind you that the way we did it this time is we dropped my truck off at the end point and then drove around to the starting point altogether, and we would just hike straight through instead of doing it there and back. Well, here's what happened. Got in there about 2 miles, and it out of nowhere, I don't know what reminded me, but it hit me. I stopped. I said, "Brother, oh no." They're like, "What? What's going on? What's wrong, Pastor?" I'm like, "You ain't going to believe this." "What? What's the matter?" I had left the key to my truck in their car. We're out in the middle of nowhere. I couldn't call Uber, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. So we talked about, what do we do here? Maybe just doing Barrett. No, we're going to do a walkthrough. I tried to call Mike Swafford to save my life. He said, good luck. I can't help you. No, he had something very important going on. So I said, all right. So I just dropped my pack, which is about 30, 35 pounds. I just dropped it there. I said, guys, I just stay here and wait. Like I said, they're patient. So I ran down the hill. Probably ran too fast. I think I might have injured myself. I hope it's nothing serious. Got down there. Sure enough, got the key out where it just right where I'd put it. Got back up and got up. And it took about 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to get back to them. And it slap wore me out. Now, what would have been that what was supposed to be just about 11 mile or 12 mile hike that day ended up to being 16 for me. And by the end of that day, I was beat. We ended up hiking at night, and that was pretty cool in itself, had the headlamps going on. We were hiking at night, but you could ask the fellows that were in front of me. They had to several times stop, where's Pastor? Finally, the light would come out of the darkness. I was behind. I was beat. But you know, as I was studying this, that illustration came to my mind. I want to tell you why. I had forgotten the key. And I got to thinking about this. You know what a lot of times we do in life? We forget the key to worship. We forget the key to having a Merry Christmas. And the fact of the matter is, the key to having a Merry Christmas, instead of getting worn out, burnt out, frustrated, and anxious, and just mad, instead of being that way, why don't we just get at the feet of Jesus? That's the key. We avoid injury. We'll avoid hurting ourselves. We'll avoid hurting others. And God will help us to live a life that He's intended us to live in a spirit of worship. Now, don't get me wrong, brethren. God wants us to be busy. But He wants us to be busy in the right spirit. And there are times where He does want us just to stop. Hit the pause button and just reflect and relax and rejoice in who God is. My challenge to you, and maybe I'm getting you a little late here. Maybe I should have preached this several weeks ago. But the point of it, I believe the Lord wants me to learn and you to learn here this morning, is determine that you're going to have a Merry Christmas and not a Martha Christmas. Would you pray with me?